Torres. Thank you, everybody, for who's involved in putting this together, all the different organizations. It's a wonderful event. Let me thank also Congresswoman Mildred Solis for being with us tonight, and Congresswoman Diane Austin for welcoming us into her district to a bit of virtual reality. It's the tireless efforts of these two great leaders, absolutely terrific representatives, day in, day out, and it's clear evidence that these issues that we'll be discussing tonight affect us all, no matter who we are, no matter the color of our skin, no matter where we live, no matter what we do. This audience represents Americans of every kind. Well, I'm so much looking forward to our evening together, and also want to thank the National Latino Media Council for their tireless efforts in bringing us together, and USC for providing this wonderful forum. I also want to say a fond hello to my former FCC colleague, Commissioner Gloria Tristani, who's going to be speaking to you later, our former chief. Former chief economist of the FCC, Simon Welty, is here, and to all of the panelists. Most of all, I want to thank all of you good citizens in this area for coming out and giving up your night to share your experiences and share your perspectives with us. You are part of what is really a truly remarkable grassroots dialogue about the future of the media, and it couldn't be more timely because it was just 4 weeks ago that the leadership of the FCC announced that it was once again turning its attention to the subject of media ownership, media consolidation. And last time they did this, 3 years ago, it was a near disaster for the United States of America, and we cannot let that happen again. Media consolidation has been at the top of my list of issues since the day I arrived at the commission, because reduced to its core, this issue is whether a few large conglomerates will be given content control over the music and the entertainment and the information that we get, whether they will be given gatekeeper control over the civil dialogue of this great country, and veto power over what the majority of us watch and hear and read. As we approach our discussion this evening, the first thing we want to remember is that it's all of us who own the airwaves, and that corporations are given the privilege of using this public asset and even to profit from that use in exchange for their commitment to serve the public interest. But just remember that no broadcaster, no company, no enterprise, no special interest, no one individual owns an airwave in the United States of America. You own the airwaves. And the broadcasters who are licensed to use these airwaves and to make a good living from them take a solemn obligation to serve the public interest in return. And that's what we're here to find out tonight. How well do you think they are serving the public interest? A critically important question is how well the interests of minority groups and diversity communities are being served. How can it be good when we see fewer and fewer opportunities for Latinos and African Americans and Native Americans and other minorities in our media and on our media? Today, as has been remarked, people of color comprise more than 30% of our population, yet our own FCC data reveal that only 3.4% of all broadcast entities are minority-owned. Only 1.4% of our TV stations. It gets even worse than this. Listen to this. Because when you dig a little deeper into the statistics which are at the FCC and we dug into, but they don't put out as a matter of course for you to see, you'll find that the percentage of high-power television stations, commercial television stations in this country, owned by Latinos is 0.35%. And for African Americans, that number is 0.12%. Is there any wonder, then, that the depiction and characterization of the minorities in our media is so distorted? Should we be surprised that issues of great importance to many of our diversity communities don't get the attention they need if they're ever going to be resolved? Let's be frank about it. Ownership matters, and the way I see it, ownership rules. And unless and until we do something targeted specifically to bring ownership to our minority communities, our communication sectors will continue to underserve these communities, and more than that, they will underserve the great promise of America. Not only are these numbers that I have cited unacceptable, they are a national disgrace. experts have found that only a handful of news stories feature Latinos. And when they do, it's usually in a story about crime or immigration or terror or whatever. The question is, will media consolidation make this better or worse? And this is really important stuff because it really goes to what our future vision is for this great country of ours. You know, to me, the great strength of America is its diversity. A lot of people say, oh, how are we going to manage this problem of diversity and this challenge? This is our greatest strength as a country. It's our greatest strength, and the media have a responsibility not only to reflect that diversity, but they have an obligation to nourish that diversity. And the job is not getting done. What's up for grabs? Here's what the future of our media, our TV, our radio, our newspapers, cable, even the internet is going to look like for years and years to come. 3 years ago, Chairman Powell tried to eliminate important safeguards that were designed to foster media diversity and localism and competition. The majority at the FCC just plunged ahead over Commissioner Adelstein and my strong objection, passed rules allowing one big media company, as Jonathan said, to own in one area up to 3 TV stations, 8 radio stations, the whole cable channels and the networks and the distribution, the daily newspaper, which is a monopoly in most places already, and the internet provider. How can that benefit localism and diversity and competition? As has been remarked, 3 million Americans thought it didn't benefit it one bit. I didn't know when I went to the FCC in 2001 that the 3 million Americans even knew there was such a place as the FCC. And certainly big media didn't tell them that this discussion was up for grabs. It was even taking place. But they found out anyhow. And around the country, Jonathan and I have been to dozens of meetings around the country. You can fill up halls like this and listen and really find out what's going on in America. And it was largely due to that public outcry last time that we checked those rules from going into effect. That was good. It was a huge victory. It shows that democracy can work. But now here's the reality check. We're right back to square one. We still have a commission that's possibly of a mind to go another way. We'll have to see. See what they hear from the grassroots and what they hear from America. But the process is starting all over, and this time we have to make darn sure that it's an open, transparent process, that not just 2 commissioners, but 5 commissioners get out of Washington, D.C., come to Los Angeles, go to every corner of this country and look what's going on in our media markets. And if we do, now we shouldn't be voting. We have no business in voting. Media ownership until we do get everybody out of Washington and see what's going on. Let me conclude by saying that I understand that other people have other issue priorities. Maybe you don't think that this is the number one issue facing the United States of America. I think it's a really important issue. But here's what I tell those folks who don't think it should be the number one issue. If it's not your number one issue, I tell them it has to be your number two issue. Because that other issue you care about, whether it's peace and war, or health, or education, or civil rights, or equal opportunity, that issue is funneled to the American people through big media. Now, if you're happy with that, fine, don't get involved in this debate. You don't worry about that. But if you're worried that maybe that other issue of your chief concern is going to be distorted, all sides of it aren't going to be protected, you better get involved in this debate. And if we do that, and I'm confident we will. I'm optimistic about this. Even though we have a steep hill to climb, even though there's a lot of money and special interests on the other side, the American people understand this issue. It's not a red state issue. It's not a blue state issue. It's a grassroots issue. And if we do our job well in the next few months, and it has to be in the next few months, because I think our chairman will probably call this to a vote early next year. So everything we're going to do has got to be done between now and then. We do our job right at the end of that road. We will have airwaves of, by, and for the American people. We'll have media democracy in this country, and what a glorious result that would be. Thank you very much.
Articulate what many of us are feeling and quite